Tax Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Well, we've been talking about how corruption passes from generation to generation. And to say it quickly in as few words as possible, is that animals, when they give birth, it's good that the offspring obey and feel secure with the parent. And then the kind of security that needs disappears, they grow older and off they wander on their own. A cow will often, if the calf wants to suck or drink milk too long, she will push the calf away. So it could be independent and to eat the grass, so to speak. Less milk, more and more grass, so to speak. They know how to free that creature. But I said in my first hour, as much as I said, is that the danger with human beings is we are born subject to a parent who was born subject to a parent all the way back to Paradise Lost, because there's something in the human race, and you heard me say this several times, through one man, just one man's failing, from one man's sin, the hypnotic state. Sin is a hypnotic state produced at birth, but we're born into it, and it gets into us. And the parent's identity goes into you, and that the identity will give you, that entity will cause you to affect the child as a rebel or a conformist. Sometimes both. Doesn't know which way to go sometimes. Or both. Being mean 1 minute and being nice the next. That does it. You have more control if you are mean first, and then people get upset and they start to cry, and then you hug them and say, you know, don't worry, mommy loves you or daddy loves you. It's usually mommy that way. So you reinforce what you have planted inadvertently you did it. And so what is wrong with you is given to you at birth. That's why it says, honor your mother and father, that your days may be long on the land the Lord thy God giveth thee. But and projecting the iniquities to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me, but love them. There is an exception to that, how it says it. Forgive me, I forget exactly. But to love those who keep my commandments. Something like that. In other words, it does go through generations, and every now and then you have somebody you can talk to. And that's what I've been trying to do on this program. Trying to find the one that knows that there's something wrong with the way he's born and came into the world. And being automatically subject to a parent that doesn't know there's anything wrong with him. And if they do know there's something wrong with them, try to fix it, but they don't have the power to fix what they passed on to the child. They don't know how. And they get frustrated and angrier. Or they feel so guilty, they try to be nice to the kid, and the kid becomes weaker and weaker and weaker, or runs away because he can feel the pull. See? When he runs away, he's running away because he doesn't know how to deal with his mother's need for him. He runs away because his mother's angry with him because she doesn't obey. The more she tries to make him obey, the more he runs away. The more he's drawn to her approval. There is no freedom here. And that's what's wrong with our country. Drugs, alcohol, violence. It opens the door to wickedness. What we need is to find redemption from our birthright. Actually, our birthright. That's what we're going to do tonight, as best I can. Roy Masters, 800-866-8883. Monday through Friday, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the evening. But the first 2 hours are the ones you can reach me on. Okay, Pacific time. Thank you so much.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Do you want me to... How about this? Would you want me to break you clean of what got hold of you when you were born? Are you willing to face the fact that you are not yourself and that you have no life of your own, but an entity is working its way through you and living through you and making you think it's you and setting goals that only frustrate? The more you succeed, the more you recede, the less you become. The more you succeed, the more misery you beget, more miserable you become. Because when you succeed in the goals that everybody should have, but the goal of life should be the extension of the Creator who made you. There's a metaphysical world. The world didn't create itself. There's a metaphysical, magical force. Call it what you like, a magical force. And this magical force is metaphysical. It isn't physical. It's the metaphysical that makes the physical. And there's two metaphysicals. There's the metaphysical of evil. Because the dark side of the force spoke to Eve. The bright side of the force talked to Adam. Correct. So we're talking to two wordless words. In other words, Eve listened to something and it acted through her. Adam in our story, and it's real. You always have to start with two creatures, two monkeys, two ostriches. And then you can have all different kinds of ostriches, tall ones, small ones, black ones, green ones. Okay. You can do that with your, you know, with your science. In your jeans or your blue jeans, whatever you call it, you can do it. But there's a metaphysical something or other that is in the world. So, well, the scripture puts it this way, so let me start with the scripture. In the world, you need to be in the world, but not of it. So your physical body is in the world, but your intuition, that which created the universe or the world, is in you. The purpose, yes, Dad, anything you say. Wouldn't it be nice to have a dad that you really have inside you that you'll meet one day? The real Father who created us. His whole purpose is to create something in His image. But He had to give them some kind of freedom. And that's another subject matter if you want to call in and discuss it. But if you look at the universe, it didn't start with stuff. It can't start with stuff. Stuff can't fix itself. It can't make itself. It hasn't got any magic. There's got to be magic in the stuff. There's got to be laws. Where do the laws come from? Where's the laws of physics come from? I'm not going to go into this. But the laws is producing. One law produces another law. And there's millions and millions of laws. Principle, but there's basic ones. And fundamental ones. And they produce the others. And they go on producing different forms of it. Each one a cause and effect. An effect becoming a next cause. And the cause now becomes the effect of another cause. It's an effect, but it now becomes the cause of a next effect. And that is magic. It's magic. It's making, it's creating itself. It begins with nothing. A singularity. What the hell's a singularity? If you don't mind me jumping in on this, because I'm doing something on this. How can you have, start with matter? Who put it there? Who put a big clump of matter or something infinitely small, like a pinhole at the end of a sentence? A full stop at the end of a sentence. This is insane. The scientists are crazy. Crazy to deny creation. Because they're egos. So they fondle materiality as a beginning. But the material is magical. Look what they can do with the iPhones, with the rare earths, each having a particular quality to you. So you can make an iPhone. You can build anything. But it has to be built. It has to be built. It has to be stuff. And somewhere stuff couldn't create itself unless stuff was created. And that's what I'm trying to say. And so, if I'm not careful, I'll give you my whole thesis. I don't want to do that. I say to you that you have intuition. But then there's another voice, another journey that you are guided to, a purpose that leads to a dead end. It's looking for glory and power. That's it. And you do that because you've been robbed of the purpose had you not been robbed. See? You've been robbed of what the purpose is and the story of your life. And therefore you substitute what somebody else gives you. You have to be a musician. You have to be a great scientist. You have to discover this and that. But you don't discover what created the universe. You don't discover what made you. Listen, even how can I say this? I'll find another way of saying it. Well, I've got it fixed in my head. Let me talk to Victoria. And I'll get the point of what I want to make in just a few minutes. All right, we're going to go to Victoria and in Pasadena. And hello, Victoria.
Hi, Roy.
It's nice to hear your voice. Go ahead.
I'm telling you, I have a grandson. He's about 13.
Yes.
And his father is my son.
Yeah.
And his father, when he was the same age, expressed suicidal thoughts, and I pulled him out of school. But he has a troubled past even so. Now, this boy is expressing this, and it's been spoken to his girlfriend, and his girlfriend told the school. And anyway, my son talked to him and is trying to work it out with him. And I told him it would be good for him to talk to you or to have his son talk to you. He's not against that, but he hasn't had a chance to do so.
Okay.
I'm wondering what I, as a grandmother, can do. I mean, he loves to come and visit here and eat with us and come around. Is there anything else I should be doing? I mean,
I'm not grasping the whole thing.
My grandson has expressed wanting to kill himself.
Okay, that's simple. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your grandson.
Yeah.
And so, is it a grandson of your son, or is it?
It's my son's son.
His son's son.
My
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And is your son in charge of the family, or is he weak, or a bully?
He's a bully in charge of his family.
That's
trying
not good.
To do right, but not perfect, you know.
Yeah, I know, but that's the problem. He is a bully, and he could be a bully because he's jealous of the boy.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, he could be jealous of his brightness. I know. I talked last night to a lady, and about the subject matter. And I said, the reason I see that you're a bright person and the reason why your family didn't like you, your mother and father, and you had other siblings, they gave love to those siblings, spoiled them, like governments do. They take people who submit themselves to the powers that be, and the powers that be reward them. But they're nothing people. But you, young lady, see that, and you say to yourself, why does my mother and father nourish them and love them and spit on me?
Yeah, I heard you. I heard that.
Yes, so you heard that the other night, roughly.
Yeah, I heard part of that. Yes, I did.
That's it. So you see, because he already has something of something in him that the parents are jealous of and are lacking of it. And there's something about the parents that are so wicked that they will love the children that yield to them like a tyrant does with people, their subjects matter. So your husband, I need to talk with him if possible. But
you mean you want to talk to the father?
That's what I mean. I need to talk to the father.
Yeah, I know.
Pardon, yes.
I told him he needs to call. He was very, very upset. And I told him to meditate and to call you to get the best advice. And he said he would do it, but he didn't get a chance to. He has a big work schedule, and he hasn't done it yet.
Well, that's
good.
But
I told him that would be the best thing for him, and that would help then to have his son call you also. But first to start with him, right?
Yes, you've got to be careful, though, to be not to be sympathetic to the son.
Okay.
You know, because otherwise you tend to enable him with that in a mysterious way. There's a part in a woman that sees the pain in the child, and a grandmother too. It's the same thing.
Well, my husband says that his dad is too harsh with him.
That's
he tells
right.
him, you do this when I say you do it. And, talk back. That kind of thing.
Yes, that's all bad. Yes, he wants power. He wants power. And you have to.
Okay.
I need to talk to him how he got to be that way.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I need to do.
I'm sure it was partly me.
It'd be very nice if he'd call me.
I will do it. I will get
right.
Try my best.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I sometimes get muddled up with sons and daughters and aunts and uncles.
That's all right.
Thank you. All right. We're going to go to. I just want to read something to you. I've said in the opening of my program, in the last hour, I hope you're listening. You can always listen to the program on the refeed. I say that you are born hypnotically subject to your parents, mostly to the mother, and less to the father, unless the father is noble and calm, and is able to rule the family with grace, and never get upset by anything, not at all. And what I mean by upset, I don't want you could be strong like that. See, bang, I banged on the chair, see. You could be strong, but you got to take the anger out of strong. And the reason why I speak with firmness that you can feel and rumbling through you. I know you feel it because it neutralizes the cruel shouting. it neutralizes, so you can actually listen. You can think that you could think, if you're not wise, that I'm practicing, not practicing what I preach. I am practicing it by talking to you with a certain authority that is not of this world. You see this? Okay, thank you. We'll be right back in a minute. 800-866-8883. FHU.com is the place you go to this 7-minute meditation. No charge. Okay, now I was saying just a few minutes ago, and I try to stay on the track, that animals do not mesmerize their young. Their just very presence is sufficient. There's no language. There's a little bark every now and then, or a noise that shows they're annoyed. And it puts the young siblings into place. Okay. Human beings are different. They're the agents of wickedness or agents of good. And there's conflict in the middle of that. And the conflict is that darkness is winning. So every day you get upset about something builds on the identity with which you was put into you the day you were born. You don't have a I'm trying to find some slang words to say it to make it more, spicy. But you don't have a chance of, unless you listen to this program, listen to a person like myself, which are not many, that you are born into sin. Now, I've heard that thousands of times from preachers. Born into sin. What the heaven does that mean? Or what the hell does that mean? You are born the extension of the culture into which Adam fell. In other words, what is necessary for you to do is realize that you don't like them, they may not like this, but it's through women. Do not get upset, ladies. I'm not blaming you for anything. Be careful you do not get upset. You let me say it. Let me say it. Be careful you don't get angry with it. You don't have to agree with it. I'm not going to push it on you. I'm only concerned that what I'm about to say will really mess you up, when it's intended to make you better. You are the extension of Eve. There is an Eve in you, a metaphysical self that goes from generation to generation. Therefore shall man leave his mother and father and be bonded to the woman, and they become one flesh. That is Bas Ackwards. That is that. So every man, so that the first man gave up paradise, what it was. God knew that would happen. He only made one pair because he knew if he made a billion pairs, there's no chance against the dark side of the force which exists. He creates the man in his image. He's got this beautiful qualities to him. But there's just two of them. And the game of freedom begins there. Oh, dear. David, would you hold the line? That is a warning signal. Your mother may be hurt. Could you take a hold?
Okay, I'm taking over for the next few minutes. Go ahead and take care of what you need to. Okay. Yeah, well, the subject is being subject, that's the subject, being subject to the spirit of a human being as opposed to being subject to the spirit of a superhuman being. Have you ever thought of it that way? Because, first of all, there's no such thing as a random event. Everything comes into existence with and from a design or a designer. And did you, everything all right? Are we there? Okay. And so I'm just checking on my dad. The idea that you're subject to a human being, it is, okay, I'm saying that what's important, I'm going to put you back on the air.
No, go ahead. You go ahead and say.
No, I was just saying that you're subject to a human being rather than a superhuman being.
That's correct.
And it's kind of obvious when you look at it. But the thing is that the thing that you believe in is not the unseen force that made you, but the force of the scene that has made you. And that's what's always...
Say it again.
We're not connected to the unseen force, the power that created us.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because we're subject to what we can see. And that's why God said you should have no graven images. You don't want to worship something
physical. That's very well said.
You want to worship something that is metaphysical.
Yes, sir.
So that's my point.
I like it. That is exactly so.
And so to transcend the relationship with the physical, you have to...
So basically, what you're extending on my point of view, you're extending very nicely on it, if I remember you say so. But you're extending the fact that the problem of life is extension.
Right.
Of one level of depending upon the kind of culture you're born into, but it's still the same thing. You speak Latin, you speak German, you speak Yiddish. It's all the same. It's the same thing that spread through the universe. And if America is being as merit-free as it is, you have a chance to get over that. If you were born in Borneo, you don't have a chance. You get eaten just for being bright. You see, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, let me cap this off from my point of view. My favorite movie beside The Matrix is the new Superman Man of Steel. It's not the newest movie which is coming out, but there's a scene in there which is that Superman lands in a field in Iowa.
Yes.
And the farmer and his wife take the child.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so when the father who has watched over Superman has to tell him who he really is, he says to the boy, I get choked up.
You do?
I do. He says to the boy, you have another father somewhere. And talk
isn't
for a minute.
Isn't it sweet?
Okay. Yeah, it's beautiful because it's intentional. You have another father somewhere out there. And he says, but I want you to be my dad. And he says...
But isn't that what I mean to you, David?
Yeah.
Don't I mean that to you?
Of course.
So when I die, you will know that father better because I'm in the way. And when I'm no longer in the way, you have him directly.
But well, you're not in the way. You've helped me all the way up the ladder.
Yeah, but the point is, you'll actually become more directly related.
I understand what you're
because
saying.
Because I'm not in the way of it yet, but when I'm gone, you're going to feel a longing, and you can choke up a little bit. But it was the way I felt when my father died. When he was 42 and I was 12 or 13.
Well, from my point of view, I've seen you suffer so graciously, and I cannot imagine that, you know, your life will be nothing but a celebration.
It's sweet. You're going to have me crying in a minute.
Sorry.
It's all right. By the way, you know, the ladies and gentlemen needs to know my wife, your mother, wears a...
Hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second. 1 second. Okay, you're back on.
Okay, so I just want the audience to know, you also wear mine. I don't really need it. I don't think so, but your mother does. And so when I hear that voice, that noise, that's beeping, I know she's made a mistake or she's on the floor somewhere. That's why I have to break with the radio program for a minute, just check to see how she is. But you want to carry this a little bit further, David?
Well, you know, I was just saying that people, the ultimate failure is to not recognize that we all have, like you said, there's a supernatural being. There's a life force inside of every human being. And to not understand that is to miss the whole purpose. I think that's the meaning of sin. If you don't see that you're not just a human being, that you're potentially a superhuman being like Jesus was, you don't know. He said, I'm the first of many brethren. I think that there are many people that miss that. And those are the people that I guess we have to really work hard to reach.
Exactly.
That's just...
And when and in America, where it was so easy to speak to people, and the people were so bright. When I came to America, you know, 60, I don't know, maybe 70 years ago. I don't remember. It's just a long time. Sometimes I forget how old I am. But the point is, this must be 66 to 7 years I've been here. This country is not the same.
Yeah, I know. It's not the same in the last 30 years.
It's a demoralized place.
Yeah.
With good people and bad people juxtaposed to each other. See, there's people that got worse and people are trying to be better. But they don't know what better really is because the good could overcome the evil as I'm talking. If people can find what I have, so what's in me? I'm just ordinary flesh and blood, not any different. But what's guiding me in my life is writing my story and glorifying the Creator through that story. And so that story is not, that's the purpose is the story of your life. So you need advice, you need understanding every minute, every second of the day. And you can't dare try to figure everything out for yourself. It's got to come naturally. Just like you see the movies of Jesus, he moves naturally amongst the people. And is it nobody knows exactly what to do in every single moment. No matter how much he suffers, no matter what people say, what people do, and when he works with the individuals to make them better, it's always that gentle quality of energy that is flowing through his being, as if the being itself was a light and an opposing energy force to pressure and stress, a stressed out person he's dealing with. He's very fact that he can stand next to a stressed out person who's sick and broken, and it neutralizes that dark side. And the relationship with the Dusa, it is part of it, because when they believe where he's coming from, they are coming from the same place forever. That is how it should be, and ministers can't teach people. They have to be a light themselves.
Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
It was nice to have my son David on there, because he's the producer of the show temporarily, I think. But I like what he said and his comment on the metaphysical aspect of our lives. We are moved by what we can't see. And the danger is, if we are moved by what takes us away so we cannot see, and that which feasts on the ability to debilitate us so we don't see even more, less and less and less, more and more, whatever you want to call it. It is a metaphysical force is at work. In other words, identities. It could be an identity, which is all about yourself. Or it could be an identity. See, meaning being guided from within and knowing what to do without knowing why you know.
Dad, have you seen the movie War Room?
No.
You must see that movie.
Really?
I really believe it's inspired.
Is it in the movie house?
It's already on Netflix or whatever. You can probably find it. But it's a fantastic movie.
Say it again?
It's called War Room. And it's basically this lady. It's a story of her life. But she comes to the conclusion late in her life that she was a failure as a wife, failure as a mother. And she decides to go into this closet and start praying to God.
And?
I can't tell you. I'm not going to spoil the movie.
Oh, all right.
No, but the string of events that is attached to that, it's like, I think it's based on a true story. But the story writes itself, and in the end, you're blown away because
well,
you see.
Well, that's the whole idea, the way you said it. The story of your life has to write itself, in a manner of speaking. But you've got to be careful of what self it is. You see what I mean?
Sure.
So that's making a point. There's two selves. And one is intuitive, and your being, your human nature, is between the two.
Yeah, I've heard you say, though, in terms of cultural Christians and people who are kind of caught up in the rituals, I think it's better than not having it because
it is.
It's like the lady you talked to in the first hour, the Brazilian lady. She can't really understand as well as she would like to, but she's still listening.
Oh, yes.
And I think that a lot of cultural Christians really want to transcend the superficiality of the trappings of religion.
You could take half of the people in a congregation, and that will be about right.
Yeah,
they would. If I was to give a talk in a church, half the people would walk out.
Yeah, but see, they don't know any better. I mean, I was thinking about my own life. You know, I went through the public school system. But it didn't break me. I broke it. See, if the system doesn't break you, you break it. I had teachers quitting,
exactly.
And I had teachers crying, and I was in the dean's office talking about the psychic vampire that was teaching my art class. I mean, they didn't know what to do with me. I broke that system. But it first tried to break me. And so all of us that have gone through, you know, the gauntlet of life, and we've suffered those spears and arrows of outrageous fortune. It's not a bad thing. I mean, I look back at my whole life and I realize I couldn't be the person that I need to be now had I not gone through those tests to determine who I would become later on in life.
It's also the test that you fail that awakens you or you excuse it.
Yep.
See? And
no, I mean, failing is not a terrible thing. I mean, it's
no,
how you learn.
It creates an anxiety that says, why am I having anxiety?
You know, it's funny that you say that because I learned this very early in life, that even when I got a cold, I would think to myself, what did I do? What part did I play to bring this on? You see what I'm saying? I started to connect cause and effect. And I knew that it has something to do with choices that I was making way back when I was in my early teen years.
I saw it. And I just waited for you patiently till you see it.
Well, I mean, it's a process, and it's a long process. For some people, I guess it's a shorter, it's truncated because their need is so much more extreme. So they kind of cross over, you know, in a much shorter span of time from the dark side to the light.
Well, if I was the devil, David, I would try to make you happy and give you everything you had so you wouldn't need God.
Absolutely.
Stress itself really isn't the problem.
Oh,
I'm having that reoccurring problem.
That is your ghost, David. He keeps on
haunting. Yeah, we have a broken mouse here, and it's controlling the show tonight.
I know, it's all right. I hope you get it fixed.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll get fixed tomorrow.
All right, so is there anything else you want to say?
I mean, I'm just about you know, this idea, though, of Superman is such a brilliantly executed way.
It is.
And because the scene before the father, I have to explain it because it's really powerful.
But I like the idea, though, if you don't mind, before you say that,
yeah.
I like the idea you have a father you didn't know. We'll all know what the father he's talking about, but it really implies without implying it, that it's talking about God.
But literally, absolutely, yes. Absolutely. Literally. Yes. And here's the other thing. His whole life, he told Superman, the stepfather, the surrogate father, he said, you have to learn how to control yourself because you're different than everybody else. And so he did. Throughout the movie, he's abused by other kids. He's beaten up. And he does very, very amazing acts of selflessness. He saves a bus full of school children who has gone over a bridge.
Yeah, that's it. That quality.
And then he kind of hides so that nobody could see that he did it.
Yes.
And then, but as he was getting older, he was going through that separation, the part of the separation that a man goes through when he becomes his own man and separates from his father. And he was yelling at his father in the car. He says, "You're not my real dad, and I don't need you." And then suddenly there's a hurricane that comes up and all these people get trapped and the surrogate father goes to help people out of their cars and something crushes his leg and he can't get back to his wife and his son. And his son is Superman. He knows he can save his father, but his father raises his hand and says no.
That's interesting. You have a very interesting insight to movies. And you can catch a story that is intuitive.
But see, his father knew.
Yes.
His father knew that he was standing in the way.
Yes, that's right. And you see the same thing with me, David. Now, I've lived a long time, and I needed to live a long time for you to catch up with me, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So, but I've been helpful. But I must pass sometime. And that's when you'll feel your Creator much more powerful. You'll have much more of a sense of Him being in you. The same thing as my own father, who died at 42 and I was 12 or 13. So it left me with the idea, I was walking down the street in the rain in the city, and my father just died recently, and I would look, because I'm smaller, 13, 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
I still didn't want to see him. I wanted to see, not want him to be dead, so you keep hoping that the person in front of you who walks like him is him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I realized, of course, they never were him, but something said to me without words, "That's not your real dad, I am." That's powerful stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't say it to me in words. I have to translate it. But because I loved the father I could see, I was not realizing, I was realizing that when he was gone, then I was in complete contact with the father I could not see. And so when I leave this earth, who knows when, you will feel that pain. That's good. But then the father you can see that you've loved becomes the father you cannot see. You inherit him more directly.
Yeah.
See that?
Well, in reflection,
so that's,
I kind of, as you probably know, I kind of raised myself because you were busy and mom had four other children to watch out for. And I'm grateful though that I was put in that position because I had to start making more critical choices when I was younger. A lot of people don't. A lot of people delay the process of making critical choices and being thoughtful about the things that they're doing and walking away from the temptations. I was done with all of it when I was about 22. I was done. I was ready to go on and live some kind of meaningful life.
You had lots of weaknesses in the up to recently, about 5 or 6 years.
But I'm saying the basic ones, I was already over them by then. That's why I wanted to be around you. Because I needed to learn a new set of skills. So,
But you also, the set of skills had to do with your cancer and all the rest of it.
Lots of different things.
And so I was able to jump in there and help you show you how simple it all really is, correct?
Well, just your example, never complaining, you know, going through every phase of all the things that you've been through. And it made me realize if my dad can do this, I can do this.
There you go.
And that's the truth. I mean, if you see someone that can do it, it helps you realize your own potential.
You know, David, I don't even notice it. I don't notice if the guy is bigger than me. I don't mind if death is bigger than me. See, I don't. It doesn't seem to bother me. It's whatever I'm required to do, I'll do it. And that's the magic.
Well, you know, if it's possible. I don't know if it is, but when your time comes, it's not going to be a loss for Earth. It's going to be a plus for heaven.
That's sweet. Thank you.
Well, think about it. I mean, how many martyrs, how many great people actually pass over? I mean, a lot of people are good people. They're nice people.
But it's not good enough, is it?
How many people have actually changed the world, you know, in significant ways? And I think that you can add to heaven. I think that God, I think that's his last gift to human beings, is that they can bring something to heaven that isn't already there.
That's sweet. That's interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So you're not there yet, so it's going to be a big party when you
I'm having a lot of fun. There's people who don't know how to get to me. I had it since I was a little boy. You couldn't get to me. You could scream, yell, punish, jump, hurt, do anything again. No, I stand my ground. I take it like a man. And it's all there is to it. And so being able to do that blossoms into, you know, what we're talking about. It's all the little things. It's all made up of the little tiny things and standing your ground and being gentle and kind and thoughtful. And then you don't even know you're thoughtful. You don't know you're gentle and kind. Other people see it. And how do you do this? And how do you do that?
All I want to say is this, before I get into this break here, is like, you know, I like science fiction because...
I see that.
But my life has been kind of like a science fiction movie. I got a metaphysical dad who does all kinds of things that no other person I've ever seen on Earth do. That's science fact. Science faction. Hold on.
Are you referring to me or
Yeah, referring to you. Okay, you're live again.
All right. All right, we just got a few minutes left. So I don't expect we can have many calls. But your interlude has been very interesting. And, well, you know, if I may say so here, I can talk to most of my family. The way we're talking together, it would be nice if you could talk to your sons or daughters together the way we do.
Because I always do.
We can be so interesting to each other almost forever. See, I have grandsons. My grandchildren. They can talk to me. They sit down when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. As they're growing up, we can sit down and talk, you know, like this. It's coming from nowhere, and entertain each other with insights. Wow, I see that. Just like we're talking now. That's the way we should be able to, husband should talk to wife, and that's wife talk to husband.
The way it is. It's the way it is in my life. It can't be any other way.
It's that way now.
Yeah, my kids are smarter than 98% of all adults. Already, yeah. And they're only, you know, 11 and 14.
And they know how to meditate, too, don't they?
Well, they started meditating when they were 2 or 3.
Can you believe that?
Well, they're powerful, but...
Well, see, what you've done is made sure that they got connected to the connection to the birthright.
Yeah.
Is maintained, the potential that is there before it's broken. You jump in and become the man you should be, the extension of God.
Well,
your wife needs you to be the extension of God.
You were talking about the respecting your father and mother. But even in my wife's father, who was kind of
a tough guy. Yeah.
But we gave him, believe it or not, we afforded him the due respect that he deserved, even though he wasn't like you. We still respected him because it was important, and it was important that my wife respected and cared for him.
That's very well said.
And so now he's gone. But see, we healed a lot of the problems before it was too late on her side of the family.
That's good.
So the boys now had respect for both their grandfathers and for their dad.
But you have to bring them over more,
I will.
You know, it's not easier for me to go to you. What was that? What was that, David? I'm sorry.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
I just want to talk a little bit about what other people said. My producer, Paul Owen, often puts something up on my screen which I don't do any research. But he loves to give me stuff. And so I got some quotes on the hypnotic states. And here's... You'll recognize Leo Tolstoy, don't you remember? You know he's a pretty Russian writer. Music makes me forget myself. He says, these quotes on hypnosis. Music makes me forget myself, my true condition. It carries me off into another state of being, one that isn't my own. Under the influence of music, I have the illusion of feeling things I don't really feel and understanding things I don't understand, being able to do things I'm not able to do. Can it really be allowable for anyone who feels like it to hypnotize another person or many other persons and then do what he likes with them? Particularly if the hypnotist is the first unscrupulous individual in your life. See, and that's it. Leo Tolstoy. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing he sees that. But he can't go further than what I do. Because I'm on the radio, so I can jump over mountains. He could just write stories and people can read it, but it's not the same as hearing it from a tongue, right?
Right.
So here's another one. Aldous Huxley. The democratic civilization will save itself only if it makes the language of the image into stimulus for critical reflection, and not an invitation for hypnosis. Oh, that's not him. It's Umberto Eco. Now here comes the Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. The scientific dictator of tomorrow will set up his whispering machines and subliminal projectors in schools and hospitals. Children and the sick are highly suggestible, you see. And in all public places where audiences can be given a preliminary softening up, suggestibility, increasing oratory or rituals. Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. And so on and so forth. Let's see what else. Some of them are so good. So, the major goal of the Cold War mind control programs was to create dissociative symptoms and disorders, including a full multiple personality disorder. The Manchurian Candidate is in fact not fiction and was created by the CIA in the 1950s under the Bluebird and Artichoke mind control programs. Experiments with LSD and sensory deprivation. Electrocompulsive treatment, brain electrodes, implants, and hypnosis were designed to create amnesia, changes in identity and altered states of consciousness. Denial of reality, of multiple personality by these doctors, and it says see page 114 for names, in the mind control network, were also the FM, FSE, False Memory Syndrome Foundation. Scientific and professional scientific board could be disinformation.
Can I validate that with a recent article I read about people who were given
I didn't read it very well, but
it's the point. It's good. But an article I found in U.S. News and World Report said that they had experimented with people, giving them a suggestion that they had gotten sick by eating strawberry ice cream, and that 40% of those people later developed an aversion to strawberry ice cream.
Well, of course. It's
only
very
with
easy.
One suggestion.
Yes, it's
a
easy.
Single suggestion.
Well, see, the hypnotist jumps in. The person who wants to control others jumps in between the seduction of the child that comes into the world. So that the seduction of the child, the identity passes into that child with whichever country or culture it is, it's always the same, except with different languages and different rituals. It's all the same good and evil stuff. And so a clever person who understands these things, a political person, which is Obama and his minions, they know how to keep you intimidated and upset all the time. So everything gets worse and worse and worse, and he has to come to the rescue.
But I would take issue with the idea that that's a political person. That's actually a metapolitical person, because they are using...
It's metapolitical. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They're using mind control techniques that are based on pure evil.
That's correct.
So they know exactly what they're doing. And even Obama cried when he talked about gun control, but he wasn't crying for the innocent people that were murdered.
That's right.
He was crying for those who were murdered that were not innocent.
Yes, yeah, right.
Very strange sort of juxtaposition of ideas, but...
Of course it is.
And it happens every day. 2,400 people shot in his own hometown, more than Afghanistan, in a year.
Can you believe that? Anyway, you're right on the spot this evening, David. Let's see. So we only got a few minutes left. And can you give the address? Because sometimes I miss.
But of course I can. I can give the address. It's P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or go up to the FHU.com website. There's a pay site, which you never talk about, that has like hundreds and thousands of archives of videotapes from the 60s and 70s when you were on the big TV shows.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing amount of stuff. All your books were there.
How did they get there?
The Wizard of Oz placed them there behind the curtain.
I know, but how do they tap into that?
They can go to the pay side and they can get a subscription. It's $10 a month, I think.
Oh, I see. So all the good stuff is on the pay side.
It's more than anybody could actually sift through in a whole lifetime.
Wow.
FHU.com.
Well, I'm glad you told me that.
We've had that there for a long time. We haven't really talked much about it, but it's got the old Iconoclast magazines. It's got everything.
Wow. Well, would you do me a favor and jump in since you're going to be working with me in the near future? Remind me of that, because
absolutely.
I'm so caught up with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
See, it makes it difficult for me to ask for money, which we need, and to pay it forward. So. Think I'm a talk show host and being paid. I don't know. I do not only get paid. I contribute my own income to the foundation, so I don't get paid anything. So I want this money to go. I don't need the money, so I don't take a paycheck. See, so I'm mature enough to have, made my life easy when I get older. And less the money, of course, the dollar becomes paper.
Well, I'll just give out the address one more time. It's P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or go up to the FHU.com and go to the pay side. I don't even, it's not called the pay side.
Why don't I say those? Why can't I say these things?
Well, you got other things on your mind.
I'm so busy trying to get people to see things.
And without meaning to cut you off, we gotta go.
Yes.
That's it, Daddy-O. Good show.